The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night to pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody, my name's Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm kind of out on Mr. Diggory.
Oh, I mean, he's proud. He's proud,
kinda
right?
Kind of out.
I mean,
he's a little.
We gotta give him a little break because of what happens.
He still doesn't know that's gonna happen quite yet. So
no.
I'm out.
He's proud of his only child, and he's ready to roll. Well, speaking of Amos Diggory, here we are in Chapter 6 of the Goblet of Fire, the Portkey. "Merlin's beard," said Amos Diggory, his eyes widening. "Harry? Harry Potter?" Yeah, said Harry. Harry was used to people looking curiously at him when they met him, used to the way their eyes moved at once to the lightning scar on his forehead, but it always made him feel uncomfortable. "Sed's talked about you, of course," said Amos Diggory. "Told us about playing against you last year. I said, Sed, that'll be something to tell your grandchildren. That will. You beat Harry Potter."
Oh.
There were so many great things in this chapter, but reading that one, knowing what we know, spoiler alert, that Cedric Diggory dies in this chapter and cannot sire.
Well, he doesn't die in this chapter.
I mean, not this chapter, in this book, and he cannot sire children, nonetheless, grandchildren.
That's my boy!
Goodness me. Goodness, goodness me. So,
not great, Bob.
Not great. Now, before we get into all of the analysis of this chapter, we wanted to remind you that the Potterverse is brought to you by our friends at jointhenerdclan.com, where as little as $2 a month gets you access to our podcast episodes early, our book clubs. We do special extra events for our friends there. So if this podcast brings you joy, I'm going to tell you something. It means a heck of a lot to Blake and I when you like, you comment, you share, you tell a friend, you write a review in Apple Podcasts, and most importantly, when you become a member of the beloved team at jointhenerdclan.com. We have a lofty goal this year to reach 1,000 members at jointhenerdclan.com. So make sure that you are part of that group. You do not want to miss out this year, as we have some really, really fun things that we've got planned up when we hit that goal. All right, you ready to get into the show?
Let's get her done.
Yes.
"I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good."
So here we go. In Chapter 6, The Portkey. Basically, the kids wake up at the crack of dawn. They learn all about apparition. Thank you, some backstory and understanding how apparition and portkeys work. And then they meet Amos Diggory and Cedric Diggory, and bippity-boppity-boo away.
That's it. That is it. The whole chapter.
Yes, it is not a difficult chapter. There's a lot of stuff that just has to be carefully interwoven in, as they are going to play important pieces in the future of the Goblet of Fire.
So let's talk about the biggest major question that I have here right now.
Where do the love goods live?
Well, no, but that is a question. I think this is the first time we've heard of the Lovegoods, is it not?
This is the first time.
Yeah, interesting.
We get to learn about the neighborhood peeps. You know that the Diggorys are near the Weasleys, who are near the Lovegoods. Hey!
And then there's the other family that, they couldn't get tickets. So there was, the split.
The Fawcetts.
The Fawcetts, yeah. So Farrah Fawcett,
yes,
apparently, is a...
Oh, yeah, she's a wizard.
She's totally
a witch.
A witch.
Having hair like that.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way.
No hairspray could handle that. You know that is a charm.
My question, Marvin, is did the author know straight up that she was murdering Cedric? by the end of this book.
Yes.
And she knew straight up that she was murdering Cedric by the end of this book, so she specifically puts it in here at the beginning of this book. Oh, yeah, Ced, it's going to be great. You can tell your kids, tell your grandkids
yes.
that you beat Harry Potter.
Wants to take the knife and just wrench it into your heart when you reread it. Because when you read it now, once again, apologies for those of you who are reading for the first time.
This is a spoiler podcast.
Just spoiled it all for you. Cedric's going to die. Right? So when you're reading it for the first time, you're just learning of a gentleman-like boy who also plays Quidditch, who is a Hufflepuff. He's one of the finest Hufflepuffs that we get to learn about in the Potterverse, not mm-hmm. just in the series, but in the Potterverse. So, you know, we get a really good idea, a solid good idea of what a Hufflepuff is like. We don't really get that many Ravenclaws aside from Luna. We don't really get that many Hufflepuffs aside from Cedric. So we get to spend a lot of time with him. And it is so great when you get to have rereads like we are now and right. you read that. And that's why I had to read that. You're going to tell your grandkids about this someday. Oh, man. Well, let's start things off. You know, the kids all get woken up super early because they need to be awake. They're actually, this day takes place, I believe, over the next three chapters.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, they wake up early to go to the Quidditch World Cup.
Right.
Like, let's hope that they have some kid caffeine because they're going to need it. They were so tired.
Yeah, it's called candy.
Yeah. They were so tired. They didn't even talk when they got dressed. You know when you were that tired?
Oh, yeah.
We all have had those days in our lives, wherever you are in a chapter of life where you're so tired. They're like, I can't even talk. And then they go downstairs and Mrs. Weasley is scooping up some porridge, mm-hmm. which I just love. I love how often we just get to hear about all the foods, particularly at the Weasleys' house. You know, it's just like homey and cozy.
Yeah.
And she's just there and she's like, I have to cook for how many kids? Like, normally it's a lot, but now it's even more.
Yeah.
Oatmeal.
All of you, oatmeal.
You each get three raisins. Like, that is it. We are rationing raisins. And you know who doesn't
get any?
Don't
even think about sugar.
No. Charlie and Bill and Percy, they don't even get any because they're sleeping in.
They can fend for themselves.
Yes.
Maybe they can apparate up themselves an apple.
How did you like Mr. Weasley's muggle outfit?
You know what? It sounds like a good dad outfit. Mm. It sounds like a pair of jeans that just a little bit too big with a big, thick leather belt. Oh, yeah.
So for those you who don't know where Blake and I live, we live in Rhode Island, and it's smack dab in between Boston and New York. And for those of you who have never had the pleasure of coming up north, people here are really snobby when it comes to, like, people dressing oddly in public, particularly people dressing oddly going to, like, Walmart. Right?
Yes.
So once you go further north, once you're in like New Hampshire, which mind you, probably from New York to New Hampshire is still the same space as in one state when you're like a normal size state. But like people here, when they vacation in New Hampshire, which is wicked far, it's like an hour and 20 minutes away.
It's wicked far.
Wicked far. And then you go to New Hampshire and sometimes people in some areas of New Hampshire will go to Walmart in their jammies. It's just like Walmart attire.
Yeah.
Walmart / pandemic attire. I mean, let's be real. I have gone out in some of the most atrocious outfits this year with sunglasses and a mask because I'm like, who's going to know?
Don't nobody know who you are?
Who's going to know when I'm in a straight up like Harry Potter Snuggie? Nobody's going to judge me. I'll just pretend I'm in like Bumpkin Town, New Hampshire. And I love all my New Hampshire people. Those of you tuning in.
By the way, I went to college in New Hampshire.
We,
all right?
So we often one of think you. About that we want to live in New Hampshire. Okay, so we love it there.
Absolutely.
I would love to go to Walmart in my jammies without being judged by some snobby Boston people.
Goffstown pride right there.
So I'm reading this and I'm like, This is what it is.
Right.
You know, it's your like, I'm too tired to really get dressed, but I'm just going to Walmart outfit. Yeah,
I'm going to Walmart.
So if he wasn't necessarily going to get a Portkey, if he was going to Wally's.
Maybe he would have, you know, spiced it up a little bit. But you know what? The oversized jeans, the big leather belt.
He's like, I've seen muggles. Yep. I went to New Hampshire.
I've seen Goffstown. I've been to Manchester.
Once again, we love New Hampshire.
Seriously, my love of New Hampshire knows no bounds. Truly. I miss it every day. It's a great state. All you great live free or die people.
Okay, so we've got the muggle outfit. And then we
learned. And Aaron's like, yeah, that looks good, actually.
And he doesn't want to hurt his feelings, right? He just like hooked him up yesterday by making his uncle apologize to him. He probably should have been like, didn't you see what my uncle was wearing yesterday?
Right.
Could have borrowed some of his clothes. Then we start to learn about apparition, because Charlie, Bill, and Percy are sleeping in because they can apparate. They've all passed the tests. Charlie, after several tries.
Yeah.
And we learn about the way that people apparate or don't properly apparate. We learn about how if you apparate incorrectly, you can be splinched, which means losing parts of your body. And we see this in the future. We see it when the kids in, I think it's book six, are practicing apparating. I think like Hannah Abbott gets splinched, accidentally learn it. It's okay.
You know, but it's different in the movies. Splinching is different in the movie.
I think in the movie we only see Ron get splinched.
Correct.
So,
but it's like an injury. It's not like he like.
Well, so here's the interesting thing, because I'm reading this and I'm like, gosh, there's so many people. So we've got Bill, Charlie, Percy, and Mr. Weasley who can apparate. Why couldn't they do side-along apparition? You know what I mean? Like when Dumbledore goes and picks up Harry and the Half-Blood Prince, he does side-along. Well, A, he's Dumbledore, but also there's so many flippin' Weasleys
That's true.
They'd have to do like two. And we know what happened when Hermione took both Ron and Harry. Ron got splinched, okay?
Got splinched.
I feel like the more people, the more elements that you have in this, the more splinch likely you are.
You know what it's like? It's when you have like cable service, you know, and like, I can split the cable. We can go on that room, we can go this room, we can go that room.
Or you just got too many people on your Wi-Fi.
You get too many people on the Wi-Fi.
You know, you got a family and everyone's on their little iPads, their phones, they're watching an Apple TV, and suddenly you're like, my Wi-Fi doesn't work. I just called it iFi. Like, that's what it is. It's like your Wi-Fi is being used by too many people. But also they tell us here to like help out, because I don't think necessarily the author had thought about side-along apparition at this point.
No way.
Do you like that I like act like I'm Dumbledore? Yeah, for those of you who are not watching the video, I keep putting my hand out like I'm Dumbledore.
Grab my hand, Harry.
Grab my hand, Harry. I'm sorry I don't get to go on your date tonight. She was rather pretty. but we also learn World Cup is such a big deal that they actually can't have that many people apparating. People will be like apparating on top of each other.
Yes, can't
that
do
they
that.
Have to carefully space people out. And get this, the poorer you are, and the cheaper tickets that you had to get?
Yeah, the earlier you gotta go.
How does that work?
I feel like that's like, I feel like
if you got minimum wage and you could only afford the cheapest tickets, you think you can take off 2 weeks extra of work?
Right, and you can buy all the necessary food. And
like rent the tent that much longer?
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. What? No,
come on, you guys are witches. Figure this out. I read that and I'm like, that's an amazing deterrent to keep it so that low income wizards
can't go.
Come.
Right.
What the heck?
Right. But they got to fill seats somehow.
Hey, this is like the biggest event in the entire world, so they do.
Right.
You know, they do. It's fine.
Think of the porta potties. Like, they got to go to the bathroom. You bippity boppity boo
you
poop?
You can bippity boppity boo that.
You can?
Yeah. They can do that. They can do that. So we learn about apparating, which is important.
Yep.
We learn about Porky's. Okay, so this is how they're figuring out. They're telling us the different modes of transportation. That people can be apparating, but it has to be carefully monitored so they're not just all apparating on top of each other, but also so the muggles don't notice.
Sure.
A bunch of people are taking muggle transportation, but once again, not too many, so the muggles don't notice.
Right.
And then there's tons of portkeys, and these are like the most accessible. These portkeys are timed. They're not necessarily always timed for portkeys, but they've got random objects all over the countryside. And I find it quite interesting that you don't necessarily even know what it is. You just like go to this hill and look for a random old thing. like they didn't tell you, like, okay, if you're in the Weasleys' neighborhood, you're looking for a boot. They don't even tell them
There's
that.
There's no, like, key for a map or anything. It's just like,
no.
Look for old stuff.
Imagine just being, like, a hiker. Bippity-boppity-boo to the World Cup.
Well, you know, you'd have to be at a specific time. But, like, let's say you are a hiker, right?
Sometimes it isn't timed.
But let's just say you're a hiker, and we're talking about this boop. It is this boop, this boot. It is timed, right?
This bippity boppity boop boot.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It's timed.
That's the new shirt.
And bippity boppity booped boot. Yeah.
Just bippity boppity boot.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It's timed, and let's say you're hiking along. And you see this boot. You're like, oh man, my boot fell apart. This boot looks great. Let me put this one on. I'll save my boot. I'll bring it home.
I mean, they would make it probably really ugly looking.
But let's just say the guy's desperate. Maybe it's all flopping around and stuff. And then he's walking along and the timer hits and he's in the middle of the World Cup.
Who are you rooting for?
Like what?
Ireland? Victor Crumb?
Like how do you prevent some little kid just taking your stuff?
It's not the wisest thing.
Little kids touch everything.
They do.
Like they touch everything.
They do.
Who knows what they bring home? They stick stuff in the weirdest places. You know this? They have like little. They're like squirrels. They pack stuff everywhere on their bodies.
I mean, here we go. It's been a massive organizational problem, sighed Mr. Weasley. The trouble is, about 100,000 wizards turn up to the World Cup. And of course, we just haven't got a magical site big enough to accommodate them all. So this is like a serious thing, and there definitely are oopsies every once in a while.
Can we just talk about how every form of magical like transportation is freaking weird?
Yeah.
It's weird. All right, first, brooms, okay? Brooms, you're learning it, not easy, okay? You can't just hop on a broom and go. Then you got platform 9 3/4. You got to run into a wall. How's that work? Then...
They have to make it so weird that Muggles don't do it. That they won't pick up the ugly group.
The flu network?
Love it. Walk into fire, man.
You're just walking into fire and hopefully you got enough powder. What happens if you don't got enough powder? Half your body goes. You end up somewhere. And now we got... And then we're apparating. You get splinched. You could have an arm. You can have an arm in Cranston. And then you can have your head in Providence.
Hey, you know? Two places at one time.
And then we're talking about about Porky's, and you don't know what happens if you let go of the Porky. Do you just get tossed about into the rest of the planet? Do you end up in some ulterior dimension?
I would be nervous because I gotta tell you, when I went up in that plane, what did I hit? G4? Is that even like a real thing? 4G? What did I hit? When my face looked like a frog.
Yeah, Mary's the bars on Mary's face went up and up and up, and it said 4G.
What is it?
No, G-force. I think you did 1G.
Yeah, whatever I did, I went up in this plane on television. We can find the clip for those of you who joined the nerdclan.com. But I flew with some like fancy schmancy.
That is, you know what?
What?
When we hit 900 members at jointhenerdclan.com, we will put Mary's experience on one of those stunt planes.
That was a terrible day.
That we'll put that up there. That's the reward
day.
For 900.
They You'll had see to carefully Mary- edit it so that it wasn't me. Like the entire time, you could tell I'm miserable.
Mary's face. She did turn into a frog. For
I did.
A good few seconds.
My skin just like flew off my face. Who would do that for fun? They were like, Mary, why don't you go on this stunt plane?
Okay, sure.
Great. I wanted to barf the entire time. My gosh. Speaking of barfing, though. Okay. Tun Tung Coffees.
Yes.
We got these twins trying to smuggle this stuff in, getting it into the World Cup, getting it into school. And Mrs. Weasley is on this like butter on bread. She could tell right away that George has got something in his pocket. And she, at you. And things start popping out everywhere. I mean, these boys were so crafty that they hid candy like within the seams, within the rolled up parts of their pants. They were trying their darndest to try to smuggle some of these candies that they worked for 6 months on.
Right.
You know, and I would be really interested to read their report cards because to me, this sounds like a beautiful blend of potions and charms to make these
Absolutely.
Possible, you know? And it's like, who were they testing it on? Were they testing it on themselves? How did they just make it so that it's just to the tongue? I mean, these guys did put a lot of research and development into these candies.
And it shows you a little bit about their character, too. They've worked on this thing for 6 months, how much R&D mm-hmm. went into it, and how driven they are and how talented they are, but also like how entrepreneurial they are. They know that this is a thing. They want this to be a thing, so they're putting in the work to do it.
Exactly.
It's like Steve Jobs in his garage, man.
Hey, you know.
Tongue toffees.
Well, you know, we get this, and then Fred and George do have a moment. So not only do they lose their candies, and they probably trudge off in the dark, tired, crabby, all they ate was some porridge, and then they have to meet Cedric Diggory, who's like hot, he's 17, he's the captain of the Quidditch team.
The guy who won last year. Yeah.
And like, of course he's the nicest human on the planet.
Freaking Cedric Diggory.
No, do not, listen, you can hate on Justin Finch-Fletchley.
I'm always going
to
hate on JFF.
You are not allowed to hate on Cedric. No, I'm serious. This kid does no wrong. He does no wrong. And if you hate on him, we actually may have some issues.
The funny thing is that I don't know if there's anything I actually can't hate on.
Thank you.
Because even when I want to hate on him,
now, mind you, you only know movie Cedric.
That's true.
But yes.
Well, the way that he like runs down after...
He floats down
with his feet and everything. I hated that.
Okay.
And the way that he pops down from the tree, it was such an arrogant move to do.
It didn't happen in the book.
I know. You talked about the movie. I'm saying that the movie was arrogant. The book, however, when I wanted to hate on him, when I expected the tree flop,
yeah,
I didn't get it.
No.
You know what I got? I got that. Dad. The kid fell off of his broom. Yeah. I didn't beat him. He fell off of his broom.
Accident.
It was an accident. Things happen.
Yeah.
You know? And his dad's like, no. Hey, did you fall off your broom? No, you didn't. Guess who did? You know what that means? That's the better flyer.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
gracious.
The better flyer.
I wouldn't know what to do if my parents ever were like that. I was never like the best, though, at anything, so it's totally okay. I never had that problem. You know, what I loved, too, was Amos was like, oh, are these all your kids? And eventually, they all are. Eventually, Hermione becomes a Weasley. Eventually, Harry becomes a son-in-law.
Yeah, look at you.
I was like, everyone there are his.
Wow.
Right? I know.
Look at you.
I know.
Look at
Re-reads
you.
Reads are so fun.
No! Okay,
then they touch the boot. It happened immediately. Harry felt as though a hook just behind his navel had been suddenly jerked irresistibly forward. Telling you, this is what it's like to hit 4G.
Not 5G, though. 5G's.
No, that's for aliens.
That's like warp speed.
His feet left the ground. He could feel Ron and Hermione on either side of him, their shoulders banging into his. They were all speeding forward in the howl of the wind, swirling color. His forefinger was stuck to the boot as it was pulling him magnetically onward. Then his feet slammed into the ground. Ron staggered into him and he fell over. The portkey hit the ground near his head with a heavy thud. Harry looked up. Mr. Weasley, Mr. Diggory, and Cedric were still standing, though looking very windswept. Everyone else was on the ground. 7 past 5, some Stoat's Head Hill, said a voice.
This chapter and the past number of chapters have been nothing but world building.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that?
Fine with it.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Because it's getting you there. And, you know, and I think that's why it's important that the first chapter of this book be so different.
Yeah.
As the world building that takes place, say, in the Sorcerer's Stone... is magnificent and colorful and exciting, and you're seeing it all through Harry's eyes. And granted, you're still seeing this through Harry's eyes,
yep.
But we're all anticipating, we're all being told the Quidditch World Cup. And not only that, not only is the excitement of the Weasleys and Harry being like, yay, the Quidditch World Cup, we are told in the first chapter that it's going down at the Quidditch World Cup. So we're reading this being like, yay, but watch out, yay. Watch out, Harry. You know? So I'm okay with it, and we go from here. All right.
Are we doing different perspective?
Yes, we are.
All right, we're doing different perspective. Let's get her done.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Arthur Weasley.
Arthur! Got a lot of kids in tow today, huh?
I didn't really notice. After 5, you are... You lose count. I mean, what's another scoop of porridge? You know?
Another tuft of red hair.
It's fine. None of them have a big tongue, so we're all good. You know, I'm living my best life.
How come? Why?
I'm dressed like a muggle. Yes. Snaps. I hear that's what people do. Some snaps. And guess what's in my pocket? A plug. A plug. Living my best life. Snaps. The end. End scene. You're welcome. Okay, you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's. Normally, we would take some
emails, but we do have to do this in an abridged version.
Yeah.
So we will get the emails at the next one.
Yes, if you guys have emails and you have questions, whatever, get us to the next one. In the meantime, Marvin, oh man, that was really good.
You're welcome.
That was really good. All right, let's close this bad boy out.
Yes, you will.
That was awesome.
Thank you all so much for tuning in, for listening, for participating. As Blake said, we'll be taking more emails in the next episode, so be sure to get those in at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. Thank you for those of you who are at jointhenerdclan.com. You are giving us virtual hugs and high fives. If you are in the market for some waterproof mascara, head on over to minutewithmary.com/discount. I forgot to mention our sponsor, of course, in addition to podcasting. I love to play with makeup. If you have not yet joined my VIP group on Facebook, search the hashtag #MinuteWithMary. I share lots of tips and tricks, no purchase necessary. And on that note, my friends, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.